Hello and welcome everyone to your energetic awakening. This is Judy Anderson. If you're driving or operating heavy machinery, please listen to this later. So now let's gather our hearts and minds together. And as we do that, let's also join our breaths together. Let's take a deep breath in. And as you exhale, just feel the concerns of the day or night just disappear and just get real relaxed. And let's also invite all of our angels and guides and those who are the highest light, the light of the Creator of all that is, to be present with us through this gathering together of all these beautiful souls. So take another deep breath in, all the way down to your tummy. And as you exhale, release all tensions, cares, concerns. Then take another deep breath in. And as you exhale, just ask the question, how can I establish an even deeper connection, day by day, moment by moment, to divine source, to spirit? And as we continue, you will continue to breathe deeply, going deeper and deeper with every breath. And just ask your body now to bring every breath more fully and deeply into your lungs. Now, focus your attention on the center of your being. Bring your energies there to be balanced. And now activate the area below your feet. Activate it and see it as a beautiful, huge tree's roots just going down, down, deep into the earth and receiving nurturing from the earth as the roots go down, down all the way to the center of the earth. Down, down until you connect with the very core of the earth, where you feel your life force energy deepening and strengthening. Just take a moment to feel how grounded and stable you feel. This will increase your balance and stability in both your physical and emotional states. And now, while remaining grounded, bring the energy back up, 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 until it enters the soles of your feet and gently courses up your legs, into your abdomen, your upper torso, and all the way to the crown of your head. And now take another moment to just feel how grounded you are. Every cell is filled with this energy of being grounded and connected to the earth. Then from your heart area, project the wonderful energy there going up, up, up until it goes out of the crown of your head and goes up, up, up until you connect with the central sun. Sun behind the sun that is the source of energy, of light for the entire universe. The central sun that is one with your I Am presence. And there, just feel the golden light, the warmth, the total acceptance of you as you, just as you are. Feel the divine love, bliss. It's an energy that is both gentle and yet powerful. Feel your perfection, your beauty, your radiance, your total well-being. You are connected with divine love, peace and understanding, total well-being. Now bring that energy down, down, down until it enters the crown of your head, energizing and balancing your right brain and left brain, bringing it into function as a whole brain to the highest degree possible for you at this time. And then allow it to decalcify your pineal gland, activating it to the highest degree for your highest good at this time. Opening up your spiritual vision. And then allow this golden light to pass down through your torso, down your abdomen, and into your legs, and all the way down to your feet, saturating every one of your trillions of cells with this healing and rejuvenation, healing and restoring all organs, tissues, all muscles, all systems. And now in this consciousness of state of who we truly are, who you truly are, let's activate our spirit of giving. Activate it. And then expand it out even more. Even more. Let's activate your spirit of receiving. Activate it. Feel it going out even more. Even more. And now, in the consciousness of who we truly are, just bask in the beauty and magnificence of you in this golden light, the love you are, the being that you are, the magnificent being, the beautiful body that you are. Accept you as you, for you are that which you seek. So it is. I love you. Now just rub your hands together and open your eyes and be ready to receive the gifts of spirit. Hello and greetings, everyone. Welcome to Jazz Up Your Life with Judy. This is Judy Anderson. So happy you're taking time out of your day to join us to hear our wonderful guest speaker today. It is a privilege for him and for me to be here with you today. And so your presence is really very, very much appreciated. So our guest today is Sarion. Many of you know him. He's a writer and a global messenger of humanity's peace potential. As a transformational leader, civilian diplomat, and channel for spirit, Sarion lives life according to spiritual principles that continually inspire growth, healing, and transformation. As an international presence, Sarion's workshops, conferences, and private readings have touched the lives of people throughout Europe, the United States, Canada, Mexico, Australia, Russia, India, and the Middle East. And today his topic is Evolving Peace Consciousness Through Gender Reconciliation. What an interesting topic, right? So everyone, just send a lot of love to our wonderful guest today, Sarion. Welcome, Sarion.
Thank you. Very happy to be here.
Oh, it's always a treat to have you here because we never know what's going to happen. It's wonderful.
Yeah,
including
myself. I don't know what's going to happen either. Sometimes I sit here before I do, whether it's a private session with somebody or an interview or one of my classes, and sometimes I'm even asking, okay, what am I going to do? Because sometimes the guides don't tell me until the very last second. And then once it starts and the process is going, then things start to roll. So it's always this little game they play with me to sort of test my faith.
And it always works out, doesn't it?
It does, yes.
Yeah, it does. Right, yes. So, well, great. So I'm excited to see what they have in store for us today. So, you know, a little bit about your background, perhaps, about your journey to where you are now, because we always have some new people with us. So if you could share a little bit about your journey, Sarion, that would be great.
Well, it's interesting. I've been thinking a lot about my journey, what led me to here lately, because I've received some messages from my own guides about how unusual my training has been, even across many lifetimes, not just this lifetime, but even if we just look at this lifetime, I have gone through a very unusual training with the angels and ascended masters that has given me a very comprehensive big picture perspective of both ancient history and our modern historical potential for evolution and the process that we're going through and what is happening multidimensionally. So whenever I go through a change within myself that could be described as being part of the evolutionary shift that is happening worldwide, I'm able to see those inner changes and inner experiences and things happening in life through an angel's eye view at the same time, because I'm also getting this feedback from the guides, from the masters, very clearly about what's happening. And I'm also able to travel out of body and to take a look at things from an extra dimensional perspective, which I also do with global events and other processes that are unfolding. And I try to bring people the most up-to-date information that I can about what is going on from that angel's eye view, because I'm not just, you know, here in my body channeling information and awareness. I very often am leaving the body and going and making, you know, spiritual remote viewing perceptions and observations through my seership and my abilities to pull in information that I think is fairly rare and difficult to come by. So I've said for a long time that part of what I was here to do was to deliver to people a kind of a play-by-play of the ascension process, both in terms of what's happening globally and what's happening in our individual processes, so that we have greater clarity and greater perspective and more hope about what's going on, and we don't allow ourselves to give in to too much fear and illusion about these incredible journeys that we've signed up for.
So, okay, great. Thank you. Now, you mentioned this. What is going on from their perspective? What, you know, sure, that sounds very interesting.
Well, I was out of body last night, actually, and I observed something really profoundly inspiring that it was part of an inquiry that began for me. I'm going to backtrack a little bit before I get to the observation, because just a couple weeks ago, I was at the Parliament of the World Religions, which was held here in Salt Lake City, which is where I'm currently living. And there were over 8,000 people there. Many of them had come from other countries. There were people there from all over the world. Over 300 different faith traditions were represented, as one of the figures that I heard. And it was extraordinary to see all these people coming together in peace with this focus on oneness and evolving to other levels of social responsibility and social awareness and furthering the interfaith dialogue, but also addressing things like climate change and issues with indigenous peoples. This was the first parliament where they actually had a strong and an official representation from indigenous peoples. So we heard from a lot of Native American speakers, but we also heard from indigenous spiritual representatives from Africa and from other places.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was looking for some type of a unifying moment, and I knew that everyone's focused on oneness, and there was so much happening. It was a very complex event with all of the different workshops and breakout sessions and everything, and I was like hoping that something would happen that would be more unifying, that mm-hmm. would maybe facilitate a vibrational shift. Like, you know, if it was me up there on stage, I would be leading people through some kind of a process to facilitate that. So I was kind of holding this prayer that something would occur. I had to think back to this one particular Department of Peace conference that I went to many years ago. And before I went to it, the Angels of Peace told me that I needed to be there to help hold the field for the shift, because that entire congregation of people were going to cross a threshold together into the promised age of peace, literally anchoring a part of humanity's future of the age of peace into the past, you know, and into our present at that time. But it's this strange kind of a process where the future can anchor into the past, and then it pulls the rest of reality into alignment with that new future as it's becoming more and more our present.
Mm-hmm.
And having witnessed it happen once at an event where everyone shifted together as one, and mm-hmm. our resonance changed. It's like a part of the resonance of humanity itself changed. I watched as this occurred with open spiritual eyes, because I could see it happening multidimensionally. It was like stepping through an energetic doorway into a new reality, and then all of us together became like a radio station broadcasting that frequency out into the world, saying, choose this new reality, choose this frequency, this is where we all want to go. And as I talked to people afterwards and interviewed them, a lot of people didn't even have words for what occurred. They knew something profound had happened, but they weren't sure how to really describe it, but they felt that everyone else was feeling it too. It was just so profound. And so I was holding the field for that to happen again. And I knew that there were a lot of other people there that had come to co-create something like that. And when the indigenous elders got up and started speaking and delivering their speeches, that for me is when I felt the most profound shift. And there was one particular elder that got up and spoke, and he delivered this speech in which he really ordained everyone in this global audience to be messengers of love to the earth and to bring people into this awareness of how important it is to give thanks to the earth, to tell the earth that we love her, and to continue bringing more and more people into that awareness of our role as stewards. And when he sort of enacted the ceremony, you could feel throughout the whole room. I mean, he was in a state of prayer as he was delivering this speech and the ceremony, and you could feel that everyone shifted into alignment with something that felt like a calling to bring the earth back into our center of focus, to make the earth our center in human consciousness, a center that we all share and that we hold a sacred focus on together as one through the heart. You could really feel that awareness arrive, and it changed things. I think for a lot of people, they walked away and their vibrations had shifted. There was a new resonance to human consciousness that was birthed there and that would go out all over the world. Whenever it happens in one place like that, you can be sure that it's symbolic of something that's happening everywhere. There are many other people that are stepping into that resonance at the same time. Well, I started thinking, you know, because the Department of Peace conference so many years ago, I mean, there were a few hundred people there, I don't remember how many, but it was a very profound shift. And this was over 8,000. And I thought to myself, this is becoming more common that large bodies of people are coming together to support each other through a change in consciousness that is like a sweeping change. It all arrives in a single moment. And maybe there's different things catalyzing that change and building up to it. But within a very short span of time, within the course of a weekend, a large body of people can come together and can actually take a step up in vibration and anchor some new key for humanity's transformation, and then all walk away broadcasting that and weaving that around the world. And so I went out of body last night because I was looking to see, is there more of this happening in the world? Was this an isolated incidence of this happening? Or is there more of this? And what I was able to see is that more and more often these large festivals and gatherings of people taking place all over the world, and it's not all of them necessarily because they don't all have the same kind level of spiritual blueprint involved. But I saw one in particular, and I don't know where it was or when it was happening, but I saw this massive group of people coming together at this outdoor festival. And I could see that not only were they all shifting into more oneness, but I saw the presence of many masters and light workers in the out-of-body state who were there in their non-physical presence, and they were walking around amongst the people and helping to boost their vibrations up and helping to accelerate people into a higher level of social interaction with each other that's based in oneness and based on sharing the resonance of oneness and sharing our unique creative energy, and also practicing a deeper and more vulnerable appreciation of people's energy by allowing it in. So there's greater and greater interconnectedness taking place. And I saw this happening, and I saw that everyone that walked away from that event carried more of that oneness vibration from that event out into the world and into their communities. And so this is happening more and more all the time. This is really, really good news. I've noticed for some years that there's been kind of an uptick in these larger festivals and gatherings where people are coming together, and there is more of a focus on oneness and connection with the earth and sharing and honoring human creativity. And it is having a profound effect on the global vibration as more and more people connect with the emerging global beloved community of oneness through these various events, where there's more of an accelerated opportunity to change your vibration. So that's what I'm seeing.
Oh, wow, that's something. You know, you're talking about 8,000 people at that one event in Utah. Is it, you know, the story about the 100th monkey, right?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Yeah. And someone said one time that the tipping point is around 8,400 or something like that. Have you ever heard that?
You know, I've heard different things from different people about where the tipping point is. And I'm not sure what I think about any of it, because I think in terms of this planetary shift in consciousness, we can have all kinds of theories and predictions about what it's going to take. But until we actually live through it, I don't think we're going to know for sure. One thing that we can be certain of, though, is that we have all of the support that we need to enact the missions that we signed up for to shift the planet into oneness. It is happening. And the resources that we need to empower the shift are showing up more and more all the time. There was an issue that kind of came up for me a couple nights ago while I was also making some other observations out of the body. And I wanted to bring this up because this has come up in some of the sessions that I do with people. I've encountered this with a lot of people, and I've had my own version of this. And what this is that there's it's a kind of a pattern that a lot of people have struggled with in their consciousness, where there's a part of you that just doesn't want to be here. And it's not even necessarily, you know, for some people, it could actually be a suicidal part. But it's not necessarily that for everyone. a lot of people feel this. A lot of people, mm-hmm. and it doesn't matter necessarily whether or not you're a light worker, whether you feel overburdened by the responsibility of feeling such a sense of mission and purpose and yet not always knowing how to fulfill it or what to do or how long is this going to take. You know, it's not even necessarily about that. A lot of people struggle with this feeling that I don't want to be here. And, you know, why am I here? It feels like there are many aspects of this earthly experience that don't seem worth the trouble to, you know, for the good that mm-hmm. comes out of it. Mm-hmm. People have various reasons for feeling that way. I've seen people that actually have their lives are going really well. They're making good money. They have good jobs. They have friends. They have hobbies. They have freedom to travel. Even people like that, that have freedoms that a lot of other people are not enjoying right now, still can feel this kind of depression in the background, a kind of resistance to life, and a kind of, a feeling of, gosh, I don't know if I really even want to be here. I don't know if I want to be in a body again. And I wanted to say something to address that because I've looked at my own place inside that has at times felt that, and it's definitely come up before, sometimes stronger than others.
Mm-hmm.
And my guides sometimes have had a fun time kind of helping me to move out of it because they'll say things like, well, you know, you could just leave your body and one of us could come in and we could do the rest of the mission for you. They know whenever they say something like that, I'm going to go, no, I want to do this. I'm not scared. I'm not, you know, I'm man enough. I'm going to do it. you know, not that speaking of gender reconciliation,
right.
That has anything to do with it. But anyways, you get the idea. You know, I have the courage, you know, I don't want to, you know, I don't want to take the exit out the easy way. And it's become more and more part of my awareness that the only way to become truly liberated and to also heal that resistance is through the life experience. You can't do it by leaving the body and doing it in between lives or on the other side. It just doesn't work that way. Once you leave your embodiment, you also lose a very big part of your ability to change the patterns that were formulated at that level. So the only way, if you have unresolved stuff that you're taking with you beyond this lifetime, you're going to have to come back and resolve it.
No.
It can only be resolved through the life experience. You can't go, oh, you know, life down here sucks. It's just full of pain. I'm going to go back to God and just get healed. And, you know, I'm kind of done with this. It doesn't really work that way. But the reason why I think a lot of this resistance and this kind of backdrop of depression and, you know, I don't want to be here is present for people is because of the fact that we are moving into an age where humanity is becoming reconnected to the light. And at some level, there are a lot of us that can remember the times in ancient history when humanity was connected to the light before. And we abused that light, and we harmed each other, and we created a lot of destruction, and we distorted that light and ultimately destroyed ourselves. I'm speaking partly and really mainly about the civilization of Atlantis, although there were other memories from ancient times that also have contributed to this this kind of feeling that people have. But if we're just talking about the Atlantean time, for example, right now, and I've kind of watched this because I've had a sort of a cyclical awareness of time. So I've actually been able to feel how the Earth and the solar system and the cycle of human consciousness has moved into a position that very much is like the opposite end of where we were at in the cycle when Atlantis was destroyed. And so the increase of light that is occurring is triggering this place inside all of us that were connected to the light before to have different things come to the surface. Feelings of that, I don't know if I can trust myself. in an embodiment because I could abuse this light, or I'm afraid to become connected to the light because of how the connectedness was manipulated before. And so there's almost this association that some parts of us make with oneness as a negative thing, where becoming reconnected to humanity means being connected to something that could go horribly wrong, and actually feeling a visceral connection to something that is going out of balance, or where there's a lot of pain. And so those memories are there, stored deep inside different aspects of our being from those times. And what people need to realize is that, number one, if you've struggled with, and it may not necessarily be about, you know, Atlantis or one of these ancient civilizations, but if you've struggled with depression or something throughout your life where you have not felt like you could really choose life all the way because something was unhealed from the past that you couldn't even put your finger on, and there's just this desire to want to check out on some level, even if you are choosing to move forward, still sometimes it's like we're dragging those parts of us with us on this journey. The resistance is there and it's real. But if you have been going through that, that can be healed. You actually can completely heal yourself of that and live the rest of your life without it. Even if it feels like you've had it your whole life, even if it feels like it's happened, it's been going on for so long that you feel like you might never be rid of it, I'm telling you that the healing energy and the presence of love and light and forgiveness and peace that is coming into the world and that is available right now, it can nullify that kind of energy. It can transmute the resistance. It can create healing in deeper and deeper ways that we didn't even imagine were possible. And I'm just witnessing that partly through my own experience, because I've had those parts myself. And I have watched as I have gone into deeper and deeper surrender despite the resistance gets broken up and healed. And as a result, it becomes possible to expand into greater joy. And I've talked about this in a couple of my recent classes, that the joy vibration is actually increasing in the world now in a more profound way than ever before. There have never been so many people in the world at one time that were living in joy and embodying a joy vibration and sharing that as a vibration with others and as a code of consciousness in a way that could actually support others to change their resonance and integrate with more joy. So we've actually reached that stage in the evolutionary process, in the global shift, where, and this has happened on other worlds before, the Arcturians talked about this, that the joy vibration begins to arrive and it becomes contagious.
That's fantastic that we're getting a point in a more joy than ever. That's some good news.
It's really good news. And it's also interesting to notice how even as more joy vibration is coming in, even as you're connecting to this, you can still have parts of you that are in resistance, parts of you that are not giving you permission totally for the joy, or that are still holding on to an attachment to an old pain story. So you can actually have both. It's an interesting dynamic in this evolutionary process, because on the one hand, you can experience expansion as a joy and yet encounter your resistance getting triggered and coming up at the same time. The difference being that it gets transmuted faster when you're continuing to expand as a joy regardless, when you're not letting what comes up stop you and stop the joy. You know, if you think about how a child may have, or maybe any of you as a child may have been incredibly joyful in your younger years, and then at a certain point we closed down, we shut down to that. A lot of times we had family members and adults that had lost their joy, and so they resented our joy, And so they would say things or do things to try to shut down that joy. And at a certain point, we embodied that and we allowed it to shut it ourselves down. So as we're expanding into joy now, what's happening is we can feel that inner child coming up that doesn't feel permission for the joy. Your higher self is giving you the permission, but there's this fear of the authority figure, the parent, the, you know, whatever it is that's going to come in and shut that joy down, or you're going to feel like, oh, it's too good to be true because, you know, I thought that there was reason to be joyful. I thought I could expand and be my radiant self, but, you know, I really can't trust that because the world doesn't support that. We carry these deep-seated beliefs that we will not be supported as our joyful selves, as our vulnerable selves, as our full expression as creative beings, and we live into those negative assumptions. So what I'm experiencing is that there's that dual experience of expanding into joy, but also things coming up where the inner child is like, no, we can't go there. And you have to sort of talk to yourself, and you have to keep trusting, and you have to really hold a focus on compassion for the part of you that is still holding on to a pain memory. And I find that when you focus on having compassion for yourself, it's amazing how much more energy there is in the world that supports you in that focus. There is more energy today in the world supporting you into that focus of self-mastery than there was the day before. And it increases every single day. So I think a lot of people may have things come to the surface and they feel stuck and they're in their stuckness. And they may believe that, oh, I can't expand into joy. There's no joy for me and I can't do it because of this blockage, because of this pain, because of, you know, whatever reason you tell yourself that you can't heal or you can't access greater joy or you can't expand or you can't become more abundant because of that pain that's still there. And the whole reason why I wanted to bring this up, and maybe this applies to some of you listening to this more than others, but I'm bringing this up because it's important. Maybe somebody you know is also in this same place and you can share with them this awareness that what people do is they say, I can't because of the pain, because of what is coming up where there's a resistance or a stuckness. But that isn't actually true. And I'm telling you from personal experience, it's not true. When we say, I can't, it simply means I choose again not to. So we are affirming that we cannot access the healing because of the pain blockage that's there. When actually, when you remove that condition, when you choose to accept that you can move into joy, move into expansion, move into abundance, even though there is still parts of you in pain and resistance, it becomes a whole new life process. It becomes a whole new healing process. And so the affirmation that I was guided to bring in to share with all of you is very simple. And I want everyone to just work with this. The affirmation is, all wounds are healing. It's very simple. All wounds are healing. And what that does is it affirms that no matter what you are feeling, no matter what you think you are seeing, that you are in a healing process and that it is all healing, as opposed to having pain or pain memories or resistance come to the surface and you affirming that this is me not getting healing. This is me not healing. This is me not being able to access. All these things are coming to the surface because you are healing. We very often can get it mixed up because as the light flows in, it brings up everything that isn't in resonance with it. And you initially feel all of that ickiness, but then you can make a breakthrough. A lot of people get stopped before they make the breakthrough, though, And they just move into distraction and into ways of trying to numb themselves from what's going on instead of just feeling their emotions and giving them permission to be there. So I want everyone to really work with this affirmation. All wounds are healing. All wounds are healing now. All of my wounds are healing. And when you hold that in your awareness, you can begin to hold that for everyone else around you, because you'll see stuff coming up in other people, and they might believe that they are just stuck in the same level of pain story, that they're just manifesting the same pain over and over again. They don't see any potential healing in what's occurring, and they don't see the potential of the healing energy that is showing up for them. But if you are holding that awareness and extending that to them, that all wounds are healing. What's happening now is not the same thing that happened before. It is just an echo of a pain memory that is arising in this process of spirit helping us to make room for the healing energy that's coming in. That's all that's occurring. When we see nothing but a transmutation process occurring in our lives and in the lives of everyone else around us, we will then become embodiments of the violet flame. And that's really what this was always headed to. This is what our training with the masters is directing us towards. Because regardless of where you're at in your spiritual process or your evolutionary journey or your training with your guides and masters, becoming emissaries of the violet flame is a part of all of our training at this time. And it is one of the ways in which we can serve humanity and serve the earth to really align with this energy, understand the dynamics of it, and to be able to extend that out to other people. There isn't a single healing session that I have facilitated that has not in one way or another been connected to the energies of the violet flame. It comes in stronger and stronger all the time. And there's really a cause in every moment, I find, to hold a focus on that energy because of what's constantly coming up and how we're constantly being challenged and confronted by things that need to be healed and addressed. And as we all become that sacred listening for each other and either silently holding this or acknowledging this energy verbally to bring the focus of the violet flame into every moment where there's a potential for healing and transmutation. It's amazing how much can shift and how we actually feel as uplifted by uplifting others and by seeing them shift through what they're healing.
Wow, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. Really. And the violet flame, yes, that's no one's talked about that for a while, so that's interesting that you bring it up. So that's what's going on. Great. Sorry, Jan.
Yeah.
Oh my gracious. Now, you talked about there are some common misconceptions about the world's gender issues. And you want to speak on that? And then you also said there are the ways to heal them?
Yeah, well, I made some interesting observations when I was at the Parliament of the World Religions because I felt drawn into some different workshops that were about things related to gender. There was one that was about gender reconciliation, and it's kind of what brought this in more as a topic. It was something I was already focused on because for many days leading up to this conference, I've been very deeply focused on forgiveness and surrender regarding people that had been unfair to me in the past. And there was one particular experience that kept coming up to me in particular from a woman who had really not held a sacred listening with me, and it had felt very unfair. And so I was going deeper and deeper into looking at, well, what was the gift of that, and how can I take what feels, what remains as something that feels unresolved between me and this person, and take it all the way up to the level of the absolute, to the level where our souls are literally one being, and to resolve it at that level, since the person has no interest in resolving it from this 3D level. This is something I talk about a lot with people, how we so often can get attached to wanting to resolve things with the person where there's unresolved stuff, wanting the healing process to be mutual between you and another person. And it's a beautiful intention. However, it's very easy to become attached to an outcome, to become attached to how the other person is perceiving things, and to hold yourself back from the resolution when you create this condition of making it dependent upon whether or not it's also resolved for the other person. A lot of people get stuck in this one. And I talk a lot with people about how you can really let go of where the other person is at and take things up to a higher level and really resolve things with the higher self and in the presence of God and the masters and the angels. And it works. It really profoundly works. So I was deep in that process, and I felt guided to go to this one workshop about gender reconciliation. And they did this process where they had the men sitting on one side and the women sitting on the other side. And they ask a series of questions to all the women. Stand up if you have ever felt sexually harassed by a man. Stand up if you have ever been sexually assaulted by a man. Stand up if, and they went through this whole long list of things. And seeing how many women stood up for these things, for a lot of men, it was really kind of shocking. It wasn't shocking to me, but there were some men there that were like, wow, I had no idea. I just had no idea how pervasive this way in which women have been treated is in our society. And so it was a big awakening. And then it was also a big awakening for the women to see how many men stood up with different things, because some of them had this view that, you know, the men are, you know, the privileged ones, and they're always the abusers or the oppressors, and, you know, they're not as oppressed as we are. And actually, as it turns out, it was pretty surprising to see how many men stood up for different things. And it was kind of eye-opening for the women. And in the end, there was a lot of compassion, and it felt like, it was so funny because I got to the end and I was like, wait a minute, you know, there's more. We need to keep going with this. We need to move into a real reconciliation, because I've been talking about this for more than 6 months now, almost three quarters of a year. I've been talking about this ceremony that's been unfolding throughout the world, where men and women are stepping into the violet flame together and are forgiving the separation between masculine and feminine, and holding a space of forgiveness and sacred listening and balance with each other to support each other to release all of the old stories. I want to describe in a little more detail what the ceremony looks like, because, for example, you could have a man and a woman on the inner plane. You know, it's our higher selves, our souls, are called into the ceremony, and those two people might not necessarily have a history of conflict with each other. They might actually have a really good rapport with each other and history with each other. And so in that case, a woman standing there with a man who is needing to release all the old stories and wounds in relationship to the feminine, it's very easy to forgive the feminine energy when that male energy is not being confronted by a feminine energy that represents those old distortions. And the same is true for a woman in that position. She's stepping up with a male partner in this ceremony that doesn't hold any charge against her personally and is able to just represent the divine masculine, so that a woman could forgive the masculine energy and release all of her stories and receive an honoring for her stories from a male energy. And that's happening all over the world. And so I was hoping that we were going to see more of it in this one particular workshop. And they sort of, their time ran out, and they explained later on that actually they do get to that when they do the longer workshop. But I was still in this space of like, I want to see more. I want to take this to the next level. I want to facilitate more of this because it's so important. And I ended up enacting a piece of this myself, of this ceremony, and it was quite profound. And it got triggered for me. It began when I went into another workshop that was all about holding space for the divine feminine energy at the Parliament of the World Religions. And so I'm sitting there in one of these breakout groups with a circle of people, and we're talking about holding space for the divine feminine energies to come in and how we can do that as men and as women, and what recommendations we want to make to the Parliament about including women more in the conference and things like that. And at the end, there was a woman who said something that I thought was very profoundly interesting. She was speaking from a wounded place, but it was actually very understandable because it reflects what people know about history, which is not a lot, because we mostly only have recent history as our guide to understand ourselves and the world around us. Most people don't have this awareness of ancient history and how many times that the balance of power has flipped back and forth between masculine and feminine over ages and ages of time. And this, what this woman said was, we need she said that the patriarchal energy is the energy of domination and control. And we need to bring in the feminine energy, which is the energy of love and oneness. And I was almost kind of – and she also – I think she mentioned nurture as well. And I was almost kind of shocked when I heard that. And I thought, am I supposed to say something about this? I was asking my angels. And they said, no, just leave it alone. It's okay. And so I didn't say anything. But I had to recall – this time in ancient history when it was a matriarchal period of civilization in ancient China, and the women were the rulers, and they were just as cruel as men have ever been to women in this last patriarchal age. And in fact, even though there's no blame here, and there's no way to pin one process on another and say, well, like one was what was directly the cause of the other, but I do happen to know that part of there was a bit of a backlash from the masculine in a certain way coming into the patriarchal age because of the way the male energy had been mistreated by the feminine energy when the feminine energy was in power. Oh. Now, in contrast to that, there have also been matriarchy civilizations in ancient history that were very positive and where both sexes were very highly honored. So I'm not going to only talk about, the dark matriarchy without talking about the positive matriarchy. And my whole point is also that the patriarchy is not also only a, dark thing of control and power and oppression that doesn't honor the feminine. You can have both. There have been instances of both, whether it's matriarchy or patriarchy, that is more balanced and more positive. And there have also been dark patriarchies and dark matriarchies. We've actually had the full spectrum of all of it if you look back over all of the entire hologram of human history. But people in modern times don't know that. There's a lot of women who think that patriarchy was just this is only something that is oppressive. And that that's what, that's how men are when they are in power. And women are not like that. And if women were the rulers, it wouldn't be like that. And that's not exactly true.
I've heard that before.
Yeah, so it's just an interesting subject. So after listening to what she said, and I really was deeply contemplating this, these perceptions and misperceptions, there was something else that I heard a man say. And he was speaking from a wounded place of a feeling. There's this subject that came up about how a lot of men who are more in their hearts, who are more sensitive, who really honor and love and respect women and the feminine energy and the goddess, there's a lot of those men who actually feel shame about being male because of the way that other men have mistreated women and even mistreated each other. And it's that, you know, the dark patriarchy energy is something that has created a lot of the more heart-centered and goddess-integrated men that have come in waves over time to feel shame about being male, because being male, you know, kind of looks bad from a lot of the feminine perspective, looking at the, you know, the dark patriarchy. So there's all these women that are holding this negative energy towards men in general. And this man who I felt was a more heart-centered man, he stood up and he said something that it felt, you know, like something was a wound inside of him speaking, saying, how can we be whole men if you aren't able to be whole women? If you're afraid to be whole women, then how can we be whole men? We have to be whole together, you know. And I mean, of course, there was a one-sidedness in the way he was stating it, but still, it was this interesting thing of how each side, at least there are those on each side that want to become whole, they're not quite sure how to do it. And what I'm going to share with you is a discovery that I made that was really interesting, that led towards my healing and greater shift into wholeness. After listening to all of this, and I'm being in contemplation, usually when I'm in contemplation about something, I travel out of body. It's not like I'm trying to, it just happens. But I went to sleep one night, and I saw this dark matriarchy from ancient Egypt. And it came from a time when the Egyptian mystery school had de-evolved, and had the masculine feminine energy had polarized, and the mystery school had split apart, and the whole thing had just gone awry. Now, originally, before this polarization took place, the feminine energy was in a slightly elevated position. It was a slightly more matriarchal system, not extremely so, but slightly, because there was a time when the feminine energy was gradually increasing in vibration, and that was because of a celestial presence. There was energy from the stars flowing into Egypt that was causing this. And as the feminine energy went up, then the masculine energy was able to go up with it. And the masculine energy was also able to facilitate the rise of the feminine energy by practicing harmony and practicing various focuses of honoring energy. And there was a true reciprocal exchange between men and women in those times that led to both an increase in vibration within the mystery school and a way in which that increased the vibration of the whole civilization and the earth for a period of time. But when that came apart and everything polarized and split, there were many different groups that splintered off. And there was one that was what I would describe as the dark matriarchy. And it was a way in which some of the priestesses in those times were in a way still kind of stewarding some of the kundalini energy in the level of the sacral chakra. But they only were sharing it in very conditional ways to try to get the male energy to flow into the power structure of the separate feminine, which was disconnected from the greater whole. And so it was kind of a dark goddess cult that was there. And I remembered a lot of distortion got created. Now, the men were also doing their own distortions in various ways. I'm only bringing this up because I was drawn into that place so that I could forgive. And as I began to go through my own gender reconciliation process of forgiving the dark goddess energy, I went deeper and deeper into forgiving and honoring and accepting all that occurred and releasing any personal charge from it. I didn't even know that I still had any personal charge, but I realized that there was something that needed to be completed. And as I went into that space of forgiveness, there were the souls of various priestesses from the mystery school that had participated in it. They came to me to receive that forgiveness and to receive that honoring. Oh. And I was able to enact another part of this global ceremony that is taking place multidimensionally all over the world. Well, the very next night, something interesting occurred because I was so focused on forgiving the goddess, forgiving the dark feminine, forgiving the dark matriarchy and the distortions that occurred on that end. I've also done this with men too, forgiving the men for their distortions. But right now it was a focus on the women. As I continued to forgive, I reached this place where I was really needing, as a male energy, to receive permission from the feminine energy to come back into full embodiment as the divine masculine. And that night, I was taken out of body by my guides to a matriarchal civilization in ancient Mexico. And I didn't even know this one existed. But apparently, there was a time of matriarchy in ancient Mexico that paralleled the highly evolved mystery schools of ancient Egypt. Oh, during that time period. They took place at the same time in two different parts of the world. And they were both slightly matriarchal cultures. Well, I connected with this whole feminine lineage of rulers from that time. And I was in the presence of their energy, and they came to me, and these women, they were so confident, and they were also warriors, which was interesting because they were female warriors, and they were expected to demonstrate fearlessness as a warrior, as a leadership skill. That was part of who they were in those times. But they also demonstrated fearlessness in a lot of other ways that were really significant. So it wasn't really about them, you know, being warriors mm-hmm. as women. It was about being fearless. It was about being confident. And so they were confident in the feminine wisdom. They were confident in their physical power. They were confident in their leadership. They were confident in their worth. They were confident in their knowledge. And they were also able to really honor the masculine energy in a way that was received in balance, where the male energy was proud to see such wonderful women in these positions of leadership and to support them because they were wise rulers and they held an honoring for the masculine energy that was in balance, that was equal, that was whole. So being in the presence of these female rulers from ancient Mexico, it was like their energy began to stream into my consciousness. And it created a healing for the separation on the masculine side. It was amazing to feel that we actually created these gifts for ourselves in ancient times so that they could be remembered during a time in civilization when we would need support coming out of this patriarchal age where there was a lot of distortion and engaging in a process of gender reconciliation. So the whole point of why I've shared this whole story in this interview is because we are at this point where this ceremony is unfolding globally. We have the potential to release all of our stories of pain and separation in relationship to the opposite gender or in relationship to both genders, either way. But we have the ability to now release these things into the violet flame. And part of what is assisting us to do that is that we are becoming linked with these other times inside of us, inside our chakras, so that we can experience part of the spiritual inheritance of our ancient selves who embodied and created these vibrational gifts of different kinds of human expression that would be needed to create balance inside of us in this time period. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. It's fascinating. Very fascinating, Sarian. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, really. Wow, yes. That is. So, I was just going to ask another question. I'm looking at the time now. If anyone has any questions, you know, star 2 would raise your hand, and on the webcast if you want to submit them there. So, fascinating. Now, should we take a couple questions? take a couple questions.
Yes, I would love to take a couple questions. I did want to say that I really hope to inspire people with this interview to go deeper in your own meditation and in your own process of working with the violet flame and engaging mm-hmm. this process of, you know, forgiving all of the distortions that men have done in this patriarchal age, forgiving all of the distortions that women have created. You know, even in just the patriarchal age, there have been distortions on either side. And going back anciently, some of us are releasing ancient wounds at the same time. But the presence of the new masculine and the new feminine energies are coming in stronger than ever before. And it's creating this opportunity for us to release all of these old stories into the violet flame and to heal from it. And it's amazing what's occurring. I was just feeling just two nights ago the new masculine energies and the new feminine energies coming in with the incoming waves of oneness and how this is initiating us into wholeness within ourselves through the arrival of these energies. So there's a lot of wonderful healing work and ceremonial work and inner work that we can do with this process that I'm describing.
Maybe we should have a violet flame process a little bit later.
I think we will.
Okay.
I think we're very in tune with that.
Okay. So let's go here. Let's take a couple questions first. Last four digits are 3220. Hello in Ohio. And what is your name, please?
Michael.
Hi, Michael. And what's your question for Zarion?
Okay, he's alluded to in the past that the ones that are thwarting the process are using frequencies against us. And I
That's
wanted
true.
Him to expand on that. And I also wanted him to ask, or I mean, I want to ask about what is a good way to protect against that? Not that we need protection, but you know where I'm drifting with it.
Oh, wait, say that last part again? Not that we need protection,
which way
but...
would be a good way? Yeah, but I mean, not that we need protection, but you still, if you're going out in the rain, you need a raincoat.
Exactly, yeah.
Because it's raining. Yeah, you know, that's what I'm trying to say without, you know.
Yeah, thank you for that. You know, one thing that I will say about this is that it's helpful to keep in mind that for as much as there are these frequencies that are being used to try to thwart us, there is an even greater amount of light and oneness energy coming in. And so I think increasingly the process of shielding ourselves or protecting ourselves is going to just be a matter of shifting our focus. It's not necessarily even about, you know, calling forth protection grids and using this technique or this tool or whatever. It kind of depends. I mean, if you're in a weaker position, you're feeling affected by it, then yes, there are tools that you can use. However, on the average day, this is really about maintaining a focus in your consciousness on the vibrations of love and oneness and peace that are coming into the world, because you control your resonance by what you choose to align with. It's really a process of alignment. So when we are not paying attention, when we have allowed ourselves to become affected by either the mass consciousness or these frequencies or some combination of both, and we are allowing our vibration to be drained or we feel disempowered in some way, then we just need to take note of that and begin to lift our gaze and focus on the presence of light and oneness and peace and love vibration coming into the world. It's a focus that you can develop maybe perhaps more in meditation to find your focus on it through invoking the presence of the angels and the archangels and the masters into your sacred space and finding your focus on it. I find that doing a little meditation every morning helps. Pranic breathing also is really, really important to work with. And that can be as simple as just pausing and taking a few deep breaths where you're really intently focused on breathing in the joy of life, of feeling your breath as something pleasurable. That brings you back into your body. It grounds your energy and it connects you with your life force. So these energies in one way or another are being used to disempower and to create people to continue to focus on giving their power away, sending their energy elsewhere towards the things that they fear. And that's feeding all kinds of parasitic systems. But when you take a moment to just pause and breathe and give thanks and acknowledge the presence of God, of the angelic presence, of the full true power of your soul to create from love, it's very simple things like that that can do it. I also have a free class too that people can take. That's just it's like a 2-hour, I think, seminar about creating your protection grid. And if you go on YouTube and you look up Sarion, my name, and working with Archangel Michael, there is a video there, and there's a link in the video where you can sign up for. It's basically the first Defense Against the Dark Arts class. There's a whole series that you would have to register for. But the first class is free because the angels wanted everyone to be able to at least be able to create their protection grids and connect with some of the energies that they're sending us to reinforce those grids if, people are feeling a need for that. So, yeah, let me think. I've talked about the importance of grounding ourselves into the earth and really connecting with the earth energy. The violet flame is always going to be one of your most powerful allies in transmuting your connection to that type of energy. And there likely will be times when we feel more affected by it than others, but it's really focusing on the awareness, being aware of when you're feeling agitated and then tracking that agitation to find out, where is this coming from? Is there a reason why I'm agitated that's personal to me? Or am I being affected by something else that's in the environment, that's a vibration in the environment? So tracking the awareness is really the first step to figuring out what to do about it. And once you have sorted out what's happening to you, once you've tracked it within yourself, then you can call in your angelic team and say, okay, what steps do you want me to take? How do we evolve in relationship to this and change our resonance? And I want to suggest that because you are, Michael, are asking about this, that there may be some steps to the process of changing your resonance so that you're less and less affected by this type of thing that you might discover. Because it's always a discovery process to be in an environment where there's this contrast and to figure out, what do I need to do to modulate my frequency? Why am I attracting this? What specifically is it about my energy that is allowing this in? And how can I develop a more complete awareness of where there's a leak in my auric field and how I'm becoming susceptible? So it kind of comes down to, not just protecting yourself in a general way, but looking at the specifics as to what's going on in your emotional body, what's going on in your mental body, where there may be a resonance to that. And I say that especially because I heard from somebody that was invoking angelic protection all the time, but then they would go out and they would go to a social event and they would feel drained and they would feel completely affected by all of these different energies. And they were wondering, is the angelic protection not working? Is Archangel Michael not there? What's going on? And actually, even when you invoke angelic protection, sometimes you still have to address where there may still be a pattern in your consciousness that is it's like a, you know, all I can describe it is being like a leak in your auric field that needs to be plugged through addressing whatever the issue is. You know, protecting yourself through angelic protection and invoking that can maybe create a buffer between you and whatever else you're resonating with that reflects that disempowerment. But that buffer is also meant to be a mirror to help you see yourself and to see why you attracted this so that you can then modulate your own frequency.
Yes, very good. Okay, thank you, Michael, for that.
Oh, yeah,
okay,
thank you.
So, all right, another very quick question because our time's getting away here. Okay, last four digits, 0447. Hello, what is your name, please?
Hi, it's Wilma. I'm almost, Judy, kind of feeling sad that you picked me because I pressed star 2 because I was so enthralled with what Sarion was saying at the beginning about, you know, that process where everybody, stepped back into one. And I pressed star 2 thinking, I'm going to ask him if he can run that process for us because I'm not even going to go into what my, you know, my eyesight and my finances, which is normally what I question. It's what's important right now is the aligning with the light that part of me feels I'm already there, and part of me feels while you're talking, there's something not quite there. Does that make sense?
Right. Yeah, I understand. Well, I think, you know, when we get into the process, I'll keep that in mind because I do feel that there always is a oneness energy that's wanting to come in and co-create with us. And what that looks like is, you know, sometimes it's a bit of a surprise, but I also feel that the intentions that you're holding are a part of this. And so regardless of what we do, the intention that you're holding right now around wanting to overcome that particular block or cross a particular threshold, keep holding that and know that you're holding it not just for yourself, but you're holding it for others as well to support that same shift in consciousness.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, because we are co-creating all the time, whether we know it or not. And I don't think we really realize most of the time actually how collective our process really is, you know, and also how whenever you want to achieve a certain breakthrough or shift, a lot of times you're in this place of wanting something without having complete confidence that you can do it or that you will do it or that you've actually already done it in the future because it was part of the plan all along. So sometimes we're in this place of, gosh, I want to move in this direction, and we don't realize how much power we really have to move in that direction. And so what I'm saying is anytime you're wanting a shift to occur, that's usually just the first sign that the shift is already occurring. So something to keep in mind.
Oops, I'm sorry. Yes, so, all right. So, great question. All right. You know, I'm going to take people right now, Sarion, to your special offer because I want to make sure that the people who can stay on the line hear about this because it's really, as usual with you, you've given us a real nice gift here with this package. It's one is engaging the flow, and the other one is working with your spiritual guides. So engaging the flow, Sarion, what can people expect to get from this particular, it's a two powerful 7-week courses. And what could a person expect to get? What have people gotten out of this particular course?
Well, I'll tell you, I was practicing the insights of this course just a couple of days ago because, you know, when I do a course with the Ascended Masters, I live through it first, and I receive the teachings of the masters, and then they'll have me teach a course about it.
Mm-hmm.
And even as I'm teaching the course, I'm still going deeper and deeper into the teachings. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, these are real, authentic teachings from the Ascended Masters for our evolutionary process relevant to these times and what we're moving into. And especially, I think the relevance of these things, these teachings, is going to go on for quite some time, because, you know, if it's coming through me as a channel, it's usually kind of ahead of the game in many respects. So if you're feeling drawn into it, it really is a rare opportunity to connect with the Ascended Masters and what they're actually teaching on the inner planes and how they are showing up to facilitate us through our evolutionary process. So the insights, and it's really, if anyone's interested in ascension, if you really want to understand ascension, which is a lot of misconceptions about what ascension is, mm-hmm. and how we can engage that process, you know, I've done a lot in some of my courses to kind of debunk, and I don't even want to use that word. I just want to use to deconstruct distortions that and you know, beliefs that are you know, not really in alignment with what the real process is. So if you're interested in ascension, this Engaging the Flow course is definitely for you, because the insights that were given to us through these teachings about how to engage the flow of our evolutionary process and how this relates to anchoring the ascension energy and receiving more from it and allowing our vibrations to be raised in a way that is in accordance with divine will, as opposed to by our own design and by our agenda of self-will. These are powerful insights that I'm continuing to use. Even just a couple days ago, as I was meditating, I could feel more oneness energy coming in, and I practiced the insights of this course to anchor it more fully and completely and to become more aligned. And as a result, my vibration keeps shifting. So this is very, very important information. And the Ascended Masters will be working with people just as directly as they did with the original groups that took this as a live course. So there's really no difference in terms of how present the masters are with the process of training you through these courses. And they've demonstrated that to me over and over again with these courses. So it is a living teaching with the masters. So there's the Engaging the Flow course, which really encompasses a lot. You know, it also focuses a lot on helping people to really realize more of their divine potential and their creative potential, and to move into that and to overcome various self-created obstacles to progress, so that people can have more and more breakthroughs with their own creative and spiritual development. So there's a lot of insights that went into that. Now, the Working with Your Spiritual Guides course, it's interesting because when I was channeling the Engaging the Flow course, I talked about engaging the flow of the ascension process, engaging the flow of the creative process, engaging the flow of divine guidance, and really being in the flow of those things. And I wanted to get into the subject of working with your spiritual guides, how to engage the flow of your divine guidance. But there was so much that wanted to happen in that course, I had to set some of it aside and focus on what felt the most present. And that's what I did with the Engaging the Flow. So the Working with Your Spiritual Guides, that subject kind of got made into its own course. I realized later on that it needed to be a whole separate course. And I was so delighted when the guides came to me and asked me to teach that course. This course, Working with Your Spiritual Guides, focuses almost entirely on techniques for working with your spiritual guides. And it's not just techniques for channeling. There's plenty of that in there. It is a course on how to channel your spiritual guides, but it's also not strictly about that. It's about working with your guides. How can you work with the awareness of your guides to move more into the awareness of your guides and to co-create with them in your daily life? So this was a bit different than the angel course that I offered on your show last year.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, one of the last times that we worked together, we did that. And it's different than that, because this is not only about integrating with the angelic presence. It's about all of the guides that we're working with, and it focuses almost entirely on technique. So lots of tools, lots of processes, guided meditations, channelings, and ways of linking up more and more. There are videos in both courses, and it's the first time that I have included video teachings in my courses. So you have written material, videos, and audio classes in both of these courses.
Wow, there's a lot here. Sorry, I'm looking at this.
Yeah.
Yeah, really a lot. And you've only valued this at $333. That's
people tell me that I really undervalue.
Yeah, I was just going to say, duh. Yeah.
It's both courses are invaluable. If you're being guided to it, then you can trust that it is going to be invaluable information for you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's information that can support you and that you can work with going on into the future. It's going to become part of your development with the guides for quite some time. I mean, part of my mission is to help people develop a lifelong relationship with their spiritual guides. And that's exactly mm-hmm. what we've done in these courses. The Engaging the Flow is working with the Master specifically, and it really is a very wonderful introduction to working with the Ascended Masters, kind of in the same way that the very first course that I did, the Allowing Divine Manifestation, was the subtitle of it was an introduction to training with the Ascended Masters. Well, this is also training with the Ascended Masters, and even if you've never done one of my courses before, you can start with Engaging the Flow. It's a great starting point.
That's great, yes. So there are two packages here, and they're both of your investments at $97 for each one of them, and very complete, very, very big courses. So thank you, Sariam, for putting that together. And again, that's at jazzupyourlifewithjudy.com/Sariam, and the number 8, and that's spelled S as in Sam, A-R-Y-O-N, and the number 8. So, great, wonderful. Well, there are a couple more questions. Should we take the questions before the processes?
Sure, yeah.
Okay. All right. Now,
and let's also keep in mind that I'm going to be doing a live webcast event this Sunday that's going to be a live activation with the Angels and the Masters and the Arcturians, whoever really wants to show up. I'm doing that this Sunday, and anybody who registers for either of these packages can participate in that. And if you don't sign up right away, if you don't sign up before Sunday, or you are not able to make the live webcast, then you'll get the replay as part of the package.
Oh, fantastic. That's wonderful. Okay, wonderful. So thank you for that. That's great. So, all right, a question here from Tanvi. Says, hello, Sariam, Judy. I wanted to ask about loneliness, perhaps, because I have been living in an environment, a space where there aren't many people around me most of the time. I sometimes feel so uplifted and joyful, and other times completely uninspired to do anything. I feel the shifts within my body and my heart, but then because I am on my own, it feels less. I feel so good to know people out there through the internet communities, but in my physical life, I feel sometimes very alone, and I ask my guides for information or clarity on this. And that's from Tanvi, which is interesting because, you know, one Saturday night, Sariam, I was talking to one of my female speakers. I said, here it is, Saturday night, and we're working. And she said, yeah. She said, you know, most of my friends are on the internet, you know, friends all around the world. But, yes, you're not alone with that, Tanvi. So what do you say, Sariam?
Well, what I tend to think about the way in which our lives are designed is that we are positioned in different places at different times where there are different conditions present. Sometimes, and I've heard this from other people as well, they can end up living somewhere where they feel very isolated. And that sense of isolation or loneliness is part of the spiritual process. It's part of what we needed to experience at a certain point for various reasons. And there's things that can be done with that to turn this into a positive. So I think it's first helpful to know that we are never going to be left anywhere or be stuck in circumstances any longer than is necessary for us to achieve the desired result. So first, it's important to acknowledge that the soul is wanting to achieve a desired result from where you currently are and what's happening in your life, the various conditions that you're working with. And so it's important to really embrace those as something positive because it's helping you to attain something. It's helping you to achieve something. And in terms of the loneliness aspect of it, I would tend to think that this period of your life where you're experiencing this, and it will come to an end at a certain point, things will shift and change, but this period is going to be about more inner reflection, more focus on becoming self-aware, becoming present to oneself. And the thing is that when you focus on becoming present to yourself, that is the golden place where you can receive more of God's presence, of the divine presence showing up and being that silent partner that is there with you, smelling the flowers with you, enjoying a cup of tea, and doing things like taking the time to write a long handwritten letter to some old friend that you haven't seen in a long time, really experiencing how the presence of God can flow into each of those moments, and to learn how to be in sacred space, to create sacred space with your whole day. You wake up every morning and you create sacred space with your presence and your intentions. You create sacred space around every meal you partake of. You create sacred space by really sending love to the earth, to the grass, to the trees, to the plants. You use the opportunity of space and silence to commune with the silence in various ways. And, of course, there's a natural human need that wants to be addressed as well. And so I think that it's important to recognize that whatever your human needs are, there is an awareness in the universe of what those are. It's not like God and the universe and humanity doesn't know, and your beloved soul family throughout this world does not know who you are and does not know what you're feeling and what you're going through. But there's an opportunity here to transform something, whatever it is that is coming to the surface to be transformed through that experience. And once that transformation has progressed to a certain point, you no longer need those circumstances. And then new doorways of opportunity will open. But I know if I was in a place where I was more isolated, where I didn't have very many close connections, I would utilize that in a number of different ways. And I would be creative with that. It's sometimes a really great opportunity to find your focus on the many different aspects of your own presence. You know, when you have emotional needs, for example, to connect with people, where are those emotional needs coming from? How can you address those emotional needs through deepening self-love and compassion for yourself and allowing all of those feelings to be fully present? I wish I actually had time to sit down and write handwritten letters and cards to old friends of mine that haven't even seen in a long time. Because what I find, I'm bringing this up again because maybe it's a suggestion that you need to hear, because I notice that when people receive like a handwritten letter or a card, which, you know, hardly anybody does that anymore because they just use email, it really sends such a wonderful message of love.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel so much love when I do it. And so maybe this is about, maybe it's not going to be happening through writing a letter, but This is about finding the flow of love. So I would suggest to you, assume that there is a flow of love that can move through your heart. And it can be moving through your heart every day. And maybe finding that flow of love is going to look different each day. Or maybe it's going to be similar each day. You never know. But if you assume that there's a flow of love that can move through your heart, then it becomes your task to find it. What creates that flow to be there? I know for me, I could easily imagine sitting down and writing a few handwritten letters to people and feeling my flow of love for that person and feeling how I'm really celebrating that person with every word that I write, letting them know how much I love them. And actually, the interesting part is that in simultaneous time, you can actually feel their response of love flowing into your heart as you're writing, even though they haven't received the letter yet physically. It's like the future talking to the past, because you're already connected with the part of them that is thanking you. And you receive that gratitude and you drink it in as you are writing, as you are creating something. You know, I love creating little care packages for friends of mine that I hadn't seen in a long time and thinking of something they would like and sending it to them. The angels sometimes help me with this, because if I come across something that somebody else would really, really appreciate, the angels will say, hey, think of this person right now, because this thing is for them. You should get that for them. And I always follow their guidance when I do that, and it's always amazing. So, yeah, that's what I'd suggest.
Okay, great response. Okay, another person says, Vasarion guided group healing process for all wounds are healing, as he mentioned. So he'll take that into consideration. And let's just take this one more. Sheila, because this is an interesting one from Florida, says, in regards to large gatherings that produce light energy for those participating, my question is about large concerts for the youth in the United States. There's a concert each year in Orlando, Florida, that thousands of innocent young people gather to listen to DJ playing music along with light shows. Usually occurs around the equinox or summer solstice. During this festival, images and symbols are flashed on the large screens on the stage. What I find disturbing is that my child's friend that has visions of darkness around the images, music, and energy as the night progresses. Sarianne, do you have any knowledge of these concerts that happen, and is this a subliminal mind control of our young in a negative way, or is this harmless fun? Thank you. Interesting question, Sheila. Thank you.
Well, yeah, that is a very interesting question. I used to go to a lot of music festivals, and I graduated high school in the 90s, and there were a lot of raves going on and things like that, and some of them had these kinds of light shows and visual effects and things like that. And it was interesting because some of it, when you actually really stop to watch it and really look, there were some disturbing things in there. And some of the people creating these images do have, a kind of a dark side in what they're creating. And does that necessarily mean that it's harmful to people? It really depends on how you relate to it. Different images can evoke different things for different people. So, you know, if you have somebody who is feeling affected by it, that doesn't necessarily characterize how everybody else is relating to what's happening and what they're feeling. I personally don't feel that some of the artists that create these kinds of visual light shows are necessarily involved with mind control. I don't feel that this is a way in which people are being controlled through these kinds of imagery. I think sometimes people that create these things, they just use a variety of different types of images, and sometimes they play with symbols of light and symbols of darkness just to create a stimulating experience for people. It's not about trying to get them to think a certain way. It's not about trying to get them to vibrate a certain way. It's just a way to create stimulation. And that stimulation, it just means different things to different people. So I personally would not worry too much about this idea that those types of events are being used in a way to try to control consciousness, because I don't think that's really the intent behind them. It's just that there are some elements to it that, let's face it, it's kind of a mixed bag sometimes. You know, and it can trigger different things for different people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, so interesting. So, all right. So, well, thank you for that question, Sheila. Michael says, healing and light, even his description of packages. Thank you. Yes, there is. There's a lot of healing and light around this young man we have on the show today. All right, Sarian, shall we do this process that I'm sure everyone is excited about doing with you? You always do such wonderful ones with us.
Yes. I would like to just open the channel for what wants to come through. And I feel this is really an energy of peace and peace consciousness. So I'm going to describe this a little bit first and kind of give an introduction to what we're doing. Because this whole process of gender reconciliation, creating forgiveness between the sexes and just forgiving the masculine, forgiving the feminine for distortions that occur during an age of duality. This is all leading towards and is a part of the arrival of peace consciousness globally. And I haven't talked about this in quite some time, but I was guided to talk about this because the angels of peace are with us. And I think the angels of peace like you, Judy, because I feel a big connection between you and the angels of peace. And I think they've shown up before when we've connected.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I would like to just acknowledge the presence of the angels of peace. When I was at the Parliament of the World Religions, there was a whole group of these people that were dressed as angels, men and women, and they were walking around wearing these outfits with glowing wings, and they called themselves the Angels of Peace. Isn't that interesting? They called themselves the Angels of Peace. And I watched them as they were walking around, and they would stand in different places and anchor energy. I don't think that they knew what they were doing. I think they knew that they were anchoring angelic energy into the space, and maybe a lot of other people didn't know that that's what they were doing, but a lot of people could feel that there was something very profound about what they were doing. And I tuned in, and I really felt the presence of the angels of peace, the inner plane angels of peace, overlighting what these earthly angels of peace were doing. And it was so amazing because I said, you know, I'd really love to meet these people and find out more about them. And then I ended up sitting right next to the person who founded the whole group in a workshop. And it was I knew the angels had arranged the synchronicity. So we're going to work a little bit with the violet flame, and we're going to work a little bit with the energies of peace, maybe in a little bit different way than people are used to. So what's really important about this process is that you, each of you listening to this, just focus on being receptive. It's not about visualizing necessarily, and it's not about causing anything to happen. It's just about receiving the energies that are being offered to you. Allow yourself to receive the blessings that the angels of peace and the other energies we're going to work with are going to bring to you. So I'm just going to describe what they are bringing to all of us. And I just want each of you to just relax and take some deep breaths and just receive as if you're receiving an anointing. So the angels of peace are with us, and they are looking into each of your lives, and they are focused on a part of the global blueprint for peace that is your piece of it to enact. And this is about peacemaking in your personal life. It is about anchoring peace consciousness into your community, into your family, into the neighborhood where you live. It's about receiving that new paradigm globally as something that is arriving in your body. And as the angels of peace are there with you, right there in the room with you, they are these glorious, radiant beings of gold and white light. There's quite a gathering of them. They're focused on everyone at once. And they're sending you this beautiful gold and white light. And they are focused on your peace potential. What I mean by that is that they're focusing on the highest potential that you have to shift into peace consciousness, to receive it, but also to enact the new peace consciousness and to spread it and share it by continually refining your words, actions, and deeds into a more and more peaceful place that transmits peace as a part of your vibration in the world. And so what they are doing is they're focusing on seeing this peace energy and this golden white light all around you and inside of you. I have this humorous image of like the, like something from Disney, like a fairy godmother that's reaching out and touching somebody with a wand and there's like golden sparkles coming out of it. There's this kind of a joyous, sparkly kind of radiance that's reaching out to kind of touch you on your crown chakra and anoint you with this peace vibration. And what they are saying to you now is you are an angel of peace. Claim this now as a part of your peace potential. We are with you, and we are all together as one congregation, as angels of peace on the inner and outer planes. Feel our smiles as we radiate them into your heart. Allow us to touch your heart with the purest radiance of peace consciousness that is available in this moment to each of you. We are here to illuminate your connection into a vast pool of peace energy that you may drink from. As embodied angels of peace, there are times when you need to go into connection with this pool of peace energy to recharge and refresh yourself, to replenish the energies of peace in your heart and mind. We are inviting you now to drink literally from the golden cup that we are placing before you, that we are administering to you. And so imagine that you are accepting this golden cup and you are drinking the liquid light of pure peace, sipping that peace energy into your body and feeling it going all the way down into every cell. Imagine continuing to sip this peace vibration until the cup is completely empty. And you watch as the cup fills itself again, and you are invited to drink one more time, to feel how the waters of peace are acknowledging you as a sacred container for this peace. When you have received this gift, imagine giving it back, allowing the angels to receive it back into their space. And feel how connected you are to the pools of liquid peace, light, and consciousness now. As you have taken in this resonance, it now flows through your veins, and it will allow you to more easily drink from a fountain of peace that is always available to you. So take a deep breath and breathe in the golden white light and feel our blessings of peace upon you. Now we would like to invite you to offer blessings of peace to the world, to any place that you choose to think of in this moment that could use some of this golden light. You are an emissary of the angels of peace in the world. We are a part of your consciousness. And whatever you bless, we shall bless with you. And so take a moment to breathe in this light and connect with that place. And imagine that you are breathing light into that place with your breath. That you are cleansing it with your breath. That the golden white light is going out and it is imbuing more deeply into the earth or into a group of people that you may think of. There's also a resonance of the violet flame that is present with us. And we like to create some sacred space for the violet flame to join in, for as you have transmitted these blessings of peace, you have also stirred up the energies. And there may be also energies inside of you that are stirring, energies that do not resonate with this higher degree of peace consciousness. And so we allow the violet flame to come in and meet the old energies, to transmute them, to update them, and to acknowledge your place in history as a conduit for this violet flame energy. Let us focus together on that affirmation that all wounds are healing. Let us say this as if we are speaking to the entire global audience of all human beings, the truth of the evolutionary process we are in. All wounds are healing now. All of our wounds are healing now. Feel how powerful your voice is, that as you speak this to the world, there is a place inside of everyone that can hear you. When you can imagine that your voice and your intentions are that powerful, you can tap into the full power of the divine within you to speak such prayers with confidence, with hope, with certainty of the change that is occurring. We are all healing now. We are all healing now. We are all living in a new paradigm of peace now. As you declare, I am self-healing. I am self-regeneration. I am regenesis. All wounds are healing now. As you speak these things into the violet flame that is around you and that is penetrating deeper and deeper into your body and consciousness, anything that does not resonate with these declarations of truth is being gracefully transmuted. We are literally drawing a line in the sand, so to speak, so that as things come to the surface and you find yourself teetering back and forth between what is true in the new paradigm, that all wounds are healing, and the old beliefs that you are stuck and that everything is the same, that line is creating a distinction inside of you, so that you can recognize the old for what it is and surrender it into the violet flame. I am open to receive from the violet flame. My heart is open to Saint Germain. I am open to receive from the violet flame. My heart is open to Saint Germain. And Saint Germain is coming forth now to bless each one of you. He is grateful for this opportunity, and he is bowing before each of you, humbly reflecting his deep humility and his deep honor, love, and respect for each of your journeys. He is saying, there is a place in the violet flame that has become a meeting place. A meeting place where many resonances of human consciousness are joining together. And just as you have gatherings and festivals on the physical plane where you may come together to shift in vibration, there is another sort of festival and celebration that has begun, except this one is ongoing. This one is not going to stop until everyone on this planet is celebrating the victory together. It is the victory of your shift to oneness, your awakening to the One. And so feel the presence of this meeting place within the violet flame as I am bringing this forth like a glowing crystal ball, like a portal into a place of unity consciousness that is growing and expanding each moment. You're invited to feel your alignment with this sacred space. Allow yourself to feel the connection in your third eye with this sacred space. As we are imbuing the vision of your oneness into each mind, into each point of receptivity in your consciousness where you can receive this. And around this portal, the violet flame is continuing to intensify. It is growing more powerful each day. We ask you now to receive into your heart a candle flame of this energy, one that will continue to grow brighter and brighter. A place inside of you that is receptive to humanity's awakening. For we are awakening within you the remembrance of this blueprint and how there is nothing to fear in opening your heart to be vulnerable to the way in which the world is shifting. Humanity has come to this point where the shifting is opening up into a global experience, and this is bringing much resistance to the surface, where there is fear about connecting to this. I am here to clear away fear and resistance, because to witness this experience with an open heart is one of the greatest gifts that you have ever received. And it is the gift that you came here to experience, to feel God awakening the world from within the world. And so we want to help you to be less afraid to open into a greater state of connection. And so affirm, I am connected to the global awakening. I am connected to the awakening of the collective heart. And I am meeting you within that affirmation as we are in this journey together. Remember also that a part of the consciousness of the Ascended Masters is awakening within you. But you are not awakening simply as an individual or as somebody that is being catalyzed by the way the world is shifting, the way the environment is changing that you are in. Yes, you are awakening personally, and the world is also affecting your experience, but also the masters themselves are coming to awaken within you. There is a part of each of us that is awakening inside of you with you, so that this is a shared experience for all of the ways in which we have cleared away fear of the evolutionary process. We were granted permission from the divine and from your own souls to give you the gift of our surrender personally. And so you can receive this. Remember that this is part of the plan. There is not a single one of you listening to this that is not beloved to our hearts. And so we thank you and bless you with peace. So let's just take some deep breaths. There is a potential to experience ongoing shifts and openings into a greater feeling of connectedness. And naturally, as that becomes present to us, there can and likely will be some resistance to surrendering to that. And so this is something that every one of us will experience in our own way. But it's helpful to know that that is what is happening, that as these greater states of connection are arriving, that the resistance that we feel, the fear that comes up to surrender, is coming up because there is a greater state of connection on our doorstep. We simply need to let it in. I actually really love the fact that that message was included in the most recent trailer that came out for the new Star Wars movie, because it ends with this female character saying, "The Force is calling to you, just let it in." And it's so appropriate, it's such an appropriate message to the field of oneness that is arriving and how people just need to let it in and allow the resistance to be melted away. So thank you all for participating and holding space for this.
And thank you, Mike. Oh, wow. And thank you. Wow, that was something. I'm so glad we left it to the end.
Yeah.
So, yeah, because, you know, when you were earlier on in the whole process, you said that they're now anointing you or something as angels of peace or something. I felt like I got whacked at the energy. It was like, woof, I lovingly whacked, but wow, oh my goodness. It was something, really something.
Yeah, I'm still feeling the energy flowing in.
Yes, really something and beautiful. So grateful for you taking the time to do this, Sarian. Wow. And I have to ask, you know, those of you on the webcast, if you could share your experiences, because I'd love to share them with the people who were not here on this live show, so that on the replay they're encouraged to listen to the replay all the way to the end, because this is such a phenomenal process that we just have had right now. It's just incredible. Incredible. So if you can do that, it would be so much appreciated. Sorry, Ann. So I was going to ask you if you have any final words.
All wounds are healing now.
Very good. All wounds are healing now.
I really want people to carry that awareness, carry that as an awareness, not just to support any part of you that is not yet fully in resonance with that truth. Because we are, sometimes as we take in a new affirmation, there's a process that happens where we are literally converting some part of ourselves into alignment with that new energy. And so it's not just for yourself, though, and that's one part of it, but it's also for everyone else that didn't hear this message, that needs that message, that needs to understand that what's happening in their lives is that all wounds are healing, that the doorway is open for all wounds to be healed, and that we are literally at a different stage of human evolution than we were at even a few years before. And there is more that is possible, and the healing can happen more quickly and even more completely. Our vibrations are changing all the time. And I really look forward to more opportunities to relating to people the insights and observations that I'm getting about this global evolutionary process that we're in. So thank you all for tuning in.
Well, you've always got an open invitation, Sariana, for my show. So anytime you're willing, you're welcome back. So thank you so much. Big hug to you and yours. And thank you, all you angels and guides, for being here and supporting us along this show today. So thank you. So, and everyone, thank you so much for joining us on this show today. You're much loved, much appreciated. And so give yourself a hug. Until the next time, remember, you are love, you are light. Thank you so much, Sariana. And until next time, blessings. I love you. Oh, wow.
Blessings of peace.